And good morning. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2015. I'm Emily Kwong, and you're listening to Raven Radio. We have Brett and Chris Wilcox in the studio with us, and they're here to talk about their six-month run across America and several events they have coming up in town. Brett and Chris, how are you doing today?
Good.
Very well. Thank you.
Tell us a bit about you guys. Where do you hail from, and how did you become so interested in food and what's in our food and what should not be in our food?
We're from northern Utah originally. We've been in Sitka for coming up on 15 years. And I grew up on a 3/4 acre plot, nice garden. Grew up eating garden vegetables. Didn't realize at the time what a blessing it was. Coming up here and being away from the garden and buying stuff out of the grocery store, you know, as parents, our goal is always to provide what's best for our kids and to be healthy and live long and productive lives.
What about you, Chris? How did you become so interested in this issue? Was it through knowing Brett or?
Yeah, we have the same kids.
We do, indeed.
And your whole family was involved in this endeavor, which happened last year in January. From Huntington Beach, California, you took to the road by foot and by car. Talk about that idea, this march. So how did you come up with the idea to tackle what for you is an effort to raise awareness about GMOs in our food supply through running?
Yeah, those are two separate events there. We showed David.
Who's your son?
Our son, probably. He was 10 or 11 at the time. We showed him an internet article about a girl who had run across the country. And just like that, he said, I want to do that. And we, of course, thought it was cute, but way beyond the scope of what was reasonable.
He didn't give up the idea. After a couple of years, we started thinking, well, could we do that?
Yeah, he kept pressing it. So we finally gave it to him and said, David, if we're going to do this, you have to know that this is a huge commitment. We're going to have to quit our jobs. It's going to radically change our lives. And and people are going to put a microphone in your face and ask you questions, which was probably the most daunting prospect for David. And he took the weekend and came back and he said, okay, let's do this. So after that, I went to David. Obviously, the GMO issue is my issue. I've been passionate about this for a number of years. But I said, do you mind if we attach the GMO issue to the run? And he is interested in food as well and being healthy. You know, he's a runner, he's an athlete, and he wants to eat healthy food as well. He says, yeah, let's do that.
So your run from January of 2014 to July of 2014 took you from California to New Jersey. I read that David was the second teenager to do this at the time in America.
And second youngest.
Second youngest.
Yes.
How did you incorporate your anti-GMO activism into the run?
We had GMO-free USA seeds that were donated from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, and we talked to people along the way. We gave presentations. We went to farmers markets. We went to a big spring planting festival at Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds in Missouri. And we did radio interviews, some TV interviews, newspaper interviews, and passed out some 3,000 seed packets along the way.
As we went across, I was the support crew, Olivia and I, our daughter. And for that first part of the country, we were staying, we would dispersal camp on federal lands or stay at RV parks. After, I guess, the festival, I realized that part of our mission is talking to people, and I started calling and making those phone calls to find people that would help us to find a place to stay. And so that was kind of an awareness builder for me to reach out to other people to help us on our journey.
So you weren't necessarily expecting to give talks or presentations, but that just kind of happened as you were going along.
We started out giving very formal ones, and it didn't work as well as when we just found these groupings organically. Farmers markets were great, but we didn't realize that until we got to Illinois.
Hmm. It was a seasonal thing, too. We started in January, and later on in the year, the farmers markets were happening, so we started to do those, and we were able to talk to many more people that way.
Hmm. So your mission was very, very focused. It was to eliminate these chemicals, or at the very least, to regulate them a little better. I'm curious how running across the country, especially the breadbasket portion, mm-hmm. changed your understanding of the issue as you were talking to folks. What were some of the conversations that you were having with them?
I was a little bit concerned, excuse me, that we might get pitchforked or manured as we got into farm country. But we found, if anything, that the issue is more alive and more real for the people in the Midwest, because they're not only buying the genetically modified foods in the grocery stores, their farms and their land around their homes are being sprayed. And so they're living among the poison, if you will. And so it was a much more critical issue to the people there who at least had awareness of the issues. We did run into a handful of people in the 3,000-mile, six-month run who opposed our run and our mission, and they said, oh, you guys are wrong. This is great. It's going to save the world. But overall, well over 99% of the people we talked to were right on board with us, saying, good on you. We support you. We have issues with this technology as well.
Okay. Just go ahead.
The issues that I met with people who were farming with GMOs is that you invest so much into your farm, the equipment to handle all of the pesticides. It's such an investment that pulling away from that, there's no way but to take a huge loss. And so it's a real difficult place to get into if you're trying to get out.
Okay. For those listeners who really aren't familiar at all with GMOs, can you just lay out briefly what they are and how the landscape for GMOs has changed since you started running? So what is true now of how America regulates GMOs?
Genetically modified organisms refer to a new process that didn't exist before in nature, doesn't exist in nature, and it was a process where you could combine unrelated species genetically. And because of modern biotechnology methods in the laboratory, scientists have learned how to do that. So that's the difference between a GMO and a traditionally crossbred plant that is essentially a sexual reproduction process that can occur in nature through natural means. So you take animals that are totally unrelated, combine the genetics, and then you've got essentially a new creature. As far as the issues, I think Americans are finally waking up to the issues. It's taken us a long time. Europe is way ahead of us and recognized early on that there were issues with the technology. But we find that every step forward in this battle to either regulate or label or even ban GMOs, we have some jurisdictions in the United States that are seeking to ban GMOs, and they are being fought tooth and nail by the industry. So any little leap forward, the industry doesn't want to give an inch because it recognizes that that inch is going to turn into a mile tomorrow. And one state, you know, Vermont tomorrow, or Vermont 2016 is going to be 50 states the next year as far as labeling. So the issue is getting to be more heated, more contentious, and the industry is pulling out all stops, including Representative Mike Pompeo's act, the Safe and Affordable Food Act of 2014, which is neither safe nor affordable. Opponents call it the Dark Act, the Denying Americans the Right to Know Act, which will prevent states from labeling GMOs. And then we have, of course, the TPP, which we've heard about recently, which, if passed, will make it illegal for member nations to label GMOs.
So what are some of the events that you're planning locally to bring this very global evolving debate home to Sitkins?
This Wednesday, we are giving a presentation about our run. The whole family will be there. And like David's going to be putting up a display of the things that he found, the road treasures. And then on Saturday, we are hosting the March Against Monsanto. We're doing it as a rally at Crescent Harbor from 12 to 2.
On Saturday,
real food for real people. If you have extra seeds, I have half-used seed packets. If you have extra seeds or food or plant starts that you would like to exchange or share, bring them down and help others grow their gardens.
Okay. And Brett, you have a new book coming out that you've brought in for us?
Yes, I have the sequel to my first book, which came out in October of 2013, which was called We're Monsanto, Feeding the World Lie After Lie. The sequel is called We're Monsanto, Still Feeding the World Lie After Lie. It's only been out less than 2 weeks now. It's already got 6 5-star reviews on Amazon, and I'm pleased about that. And I'm going to have the book on hand Wednesday night, 5:30 at room 106 at UAS, and I'm going to be giving out copies to the people who donated to support us on our run. Mm. And hopefully by the end of the day, I'll have it down at Old Harbor. I haven't managed to get down there yet, but I'll make sure I get it down there at least today, if not tomorrow, and so Sitkins can purchase it there as well.
Okay. I desperately want to know about all the tokens you've collected on your run, but our interview unfortunately doesn't accommodate. I guess you have to go down on Wednesday for yourself, folks, and see. But I do have one question for you, which is, you're tackling such a huge, huge, almost like just permanent institution or industry that's so a part of America, and there's a debate to disentangle it from how we process food. But I'm wondering how it's changed you as a family. So to be people who have engaged so deeply in the issue, are things different in your family at all? Do you sit around the table and talk about these issues in detail? Or are you kind of just the same as always? You're raising two teenagers, David and Olivia. How's this whole thing changed you?
You know, it's hard to find balance. When you write books about a particular subject, you give up balance. We went on the run to demonstrate a healthy lifestyle, but it was not healthy. There was no balance there. Running 20 miles a day, 6 days a week is not healthy. And talking about GMOs 24/7 is not healthy. And any kid who would have to be cursed to have such parents, or a parent, if you will, you know, they're well over it. It's like, Dad, we've heard this before. And yet still it continues to be an obsession of mine, because I do love my kids, and I love our granddaughter, and I'm sure we've got more coming. And for me, this is life and death. So it's something that I feel very strongly about, and not just for our kids, but for the children of the world. This is a matter that's not going away. And you know, the difference between biological pollution and chemical pollution is that chemical pollution dissipates over time, but biological pollution continues to grow and spread and infect and infest, contaminate, and that's what we've got going on in the world. So I do see this as an issue that I can't be quiet about.
And what about you, for you, Chris, as a mom?
Well, the kids can hold their own if they're asked questions. We had times where youth groups would get together and they were the only ones that spoke. And
wow.
It's kind of fun coming from Alaska and you're talking to a bunch of kids in Kansas. They get the kids would get the questions about the igloos as well as what is a GMO, and both of them handled the questions wonderfully.
Okay. Well, the whole Wilcox family will be at this family presentation on Wednesday at the University of Alaska, room 106 at 5:30. They'll be talking about this run across America. You can ask them all the questions that I did not get around to asking them this morning. And then the march is taking place on Saturday at noon at Crescent Harbor. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thanks.
And giving of your time.
Thank you, Emily. This was fun.